Hey gang, John here. Before we get to our podcast, I do have some information to convey from the social media folks over at DragonCon. They have asked me to pass on some information about a contest that they're running. Actually, they're running several contests every week up until the convention starts. It's a Fan of the Week contest. So here are some details of this particular one as supplied to me. So the details are you DragonCon's biggest fan? Do you want to be highlighted on our social media sites and win a cool prize? From now until the con, we want to highlight one of our awesome fans every week. This week, all you have to do is create a video, a Vine video, telling us why you heart DragonCon. Then either link it below in the comments or tag it on Twitter with hashtag DeconLove. The contest will run until Saturday at noon. Our Fan of the Week contest winner will be announced next Monday. Some things to keep in mind. One, keep it PG. Squidlord. Be creative. Don't forget to include hashtag DeconLove in the post. No copyright violations. You know who you are. And it's Vine only. If you don't use Vine, don't worry. There will be future contests using other social media platforms. We look forward to watching your videos and finding out why you are our biggest fan. So that's it, folks. Get on the Vine and start hashtagging it away on the social media world thingies that those kids are using today. Use your intelligent phones and your eyeball phones, I think is what they're called, right? I think I got all that right. So anyway, now to our regularly scheduled podcast.
There's one set for stun. Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11, 11 listeners.
This is really geek.
Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the unique peak.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con Countdown, where 50 days are frantically filled by Dragon Con content. With me, as always, well, most of the time, is my lovely, the ever so beautiful, the newly coiffed Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? And the reason he's saying newly coiffed is he wanted to do a podcast this week, and I went, nope, can't. Go and get my hair did. So, yes, as Andy Warhol says, it takes a lot of work to look this good. I'm good. It's we're doing this one early morning, so we're both trying to inhale our caffeine, so we're mm-hmm. a little more awake while we talk to a guest. So, you know, it's hard to believe, though. We're at Dragon Con. We're a little over a month away.
A little over a month away. You're correct.
A month.
And I mentioned this. Oh my God. I mentioned this in a podcast. I think the one that I did that I posted the other day, which is the steampunk in Warehouse 13, the crossover panel from 2012. But there is a new hotel that has opened up. I'm not sure what its status is right now, but there is a new hotel that's opened up. It's Midtown. But if
the new Hyatt in Midtown. Yep.
Yeah. If you're desperate. And you can figure out a way to transport yourself down to the con every day, and you haven't got a hotel yet, it might be an option for you.
Well, and I've got to say something, too, is there are a lot of hotels. First of all, Labor Day weekend is not a busy hotel time, which around Atlanta, other than Dragon Con and this SEC shit, which is downtown. And I say SEC shit because I actually am an SEC fan. I shouldn't say that. Football, which we do love college football. But I got to say also that there are a lot of families that every year come and only one of the people is actually going to Dragon Con and the other people are doing other things. The partner, the spouse, the children are maybe not coming to Dragon Con or doing other things because Atlanta's got a lot of stuff. We've got, you know, we've got the Braves and we've got the aquarium and we've got, as we well know, John, Six Flags and Whitewater and all those other things that are in the area. So the other thing is if you're looking for a hotel and it's really only one of your group that is going to Dragon Con, start venturing out a little bit. Look into the Decatur area, the Emory area. Look into, because you're probably not somebody who's going to be doing the 24/7 party scene. You're trying to go, you know, be there early, be there late. But, you know, Mardi Gras till at least midnight. And so you can do some of that and look at that. So don't worry as much about a host hotel. Try to think about a little bit farther out, and that's okay. You probably will still find some DragonCon people, because a lot of people look for that. And I always just want to tell people that, because I think a lot of people go, oh, I've got to be downtown, I've got to be at the host hotel. You really don't. You're still going to have a great time, especially if you're somebody who isn't somebody who's looking for a drum circle at 3 a.m. in the morning, which, while I love a good drum circle, 3 a.m. in the morning, I'm trying to get some sleep so I can be awake for the 10 o'clock panel. So, I don't know. John, you're, I'm sure, up there with the drum circling and with your...
Oh, all the time. You know me and my hippie hair and my and my sense of rhythm. I think
the hippiest hair I've ever seen on a picture of you was when you had the 80s mullet.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's no such picture anywhere of me.
Oh, sweetie. Oh, please. Yes.
I have.
In the 80s mullet was in acid wash jeans, baby.
I don't know what you're talking about. No. There's no such thing. All lies, lies. Why don't you just go ahead and introduce our guest, Lee?
See, he's really trying to lie because he doesn't want to tell his children about all the bad things he did.
So, anyway,
coming to DragonCon.
Go on.
I'm trying to segue this. Come on, a little bit. So, if you're coming to DragonCon with tweens or maybe younger teens, John and I both hate that tween word. But if you are coming to DragonCon with that, we actually have Dace built a track just for that. And it is called the Kaleidoscope track. And we have... the director here, Jill. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Hey, Kaleidoscope. So, 50 words or less, what is Kaleidoscope?
It's the track for the 9 to 13-year-old geeks.
There we go.
Well, that is
that's a lot less.
The very definition of a of an elevator pitch.
There you go. That was good. So, sorry, John.
Well, what do those cover then? So when we're talking about 9 to 13-year-olds, what are we really breaking down as far as media is concerned? By the way, welcome back, I should point out.
And welcome back. We're thrilled you're here.
We cover Disney, the Disney Channel, Disney XD, mm-hmm. which is mostly aimed at boys, Nickelodeon, Teen Nick, and then Cartoon Network. And sometimes we venture off into the hub, but sometimes not.
Right. Well, the hub is the hub actually has a lot of newer programming, but mostly it's some of the older cartoons too, right?
Yeah, and kids are into that.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, my kids have gotten into the new Looney Tunes, which is on Cartoon Network, I believe. So this is what, your third year?
This is our third year.
Third year, right? And as I mentioned the other day, or one of my posts is that it is one of my favorite newer tracks. Actually, one of my favorite tracks, period. It doesn't have to qualify with newer. Simply because, as we were talking before, it fills that gap that was kind of missing in DragonCon, which is there are a bunch of... all the folks that are at DragonCon are likely raising geeks, mm-hmm. if you will. And... those kids are not necessarily, they might be into Star Wars or Star Trek, but they're not necessarily into some of the other more obscure items. So there's not as much for them because they're still, you know, even though they're tweens. By the way, are you a fan of that word? Because I am not.
Tween,
we
no,
hate it.
We don't. It's not popular with the kids in that age range.
it's funny because who thought up that word?
I don't know who thought it up, but there does seem to be the kids that are in that age range, which would be, well, now not mine because he's 14. But when he was, he hated it. He hated that term, and your daughter hates that term. And we as parents hate it because I'm just like, can't they be kids up until they're teens? Come on.
It really depends. We've had kids come off, you know, this will be our third year. We'll be seeing them again.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen them already make that transition from where they're still a kid.
Yeah.
To where they're getting into that teen thing. Not even really preteen. It seems like they go from kid to teen. Like,
yeah.
Rarely is there any middle ground. And so they come in and they want to, when they're young like that, when they're basically between 6 and 9, that's when they really like the programming on the channels that we do, you know, the iCarlys and the SpongeBob and that kind of stuff. But as they grow up and they start getting into older fandoms, they still secretly like the thing, so they still want to participate, but then they want to be able to be free to do, you know, Star Wars, and the reboot of Star Trek is popular and that kind of stuff. Yeah. So we're just kind of like that little, that in between where we bring them in and we get them oriented and then we send them back out.
So,
Well,
I was going to ask you, so what specific shows will you be covering this year?
Well, we have Power Rangers. We'll be doing some Power Rangers stuff. And awesome. We're going to... I'm sorry?
I said awesome.
I said awesome. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about all the iCarly spinoffs.
Have there been some? Because I'm not aware of it, so...
There's two shows, and then there's two or three movies that are coming out.
Okay.
And
iCarly, as a parent, I have to tell you, my son and I had more arguments about iCarly than almost any show he liked.
It's either love it or hate it.
My kids
and it wasn't
did not
that
like
I
it.
Hated it. I didn't hate the show. I actually hate it. And it's, I think you and I've had this discussion before, Jill, but it is literally, I wouldn't let that brother keep my cat, much less a child. Spencer. And I know that means that the actor did a great job, and just nothing against the actor, but I literally, and my son would just be like, it's not that bad. I'm like, yeah, yes, it is. And we would have just these little arguments about it. In our family, that's what we do over dinner, is we argue about characters, and then we, yeah. So that's always fun.
Well, then
sorry.
The show, Wendell and Vinny would really not be for you then.
Oh, really? Oh, good to know. Well, the other show that drives me crazy is the one on PBS with the two little bunnies, Max and whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because who the hell are the parents? It drives me. I'm sorry, it drives me crazy.
Oh, Ruby and Max, you mean?
Yes, that one.
That's a little younger than Tween, but
I know it's a little younger than Tween.
But yeah,
but still,
you know, we're
it's still
parents.
The same idea of no parents around or no adult figures, except they just go to grandma's house every so often.
I'm sorry if you're talking about lack of parent supervision.
Uh-huh.
Phineas and Ferb. As much as I love that show, how is it the parents can never see what's going on?
No. And you know, yeah, we have, of course, we'll have our Phineas and Ferb programming. Mm-hmm. You know, they would shut us down if we didn't have Phineas and Ferb programming. We'll be doing one of the hot popular new shows is a show called Gravity Falls.
Oh, I love that show. My kids like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's growing on me. At first, I was like, I don't know, but the more I watch it, the funnier it is.
Are they still making new episodes? Because I don't think I've seen a new episode.
I think they might be in hiatus. But
okay.
It's so popular. I mean, because they were playing the original ones, and then they replay them on a different channel. So, you know how they all have their other channel.
Yeah, they have XD, and then they have.
And that's what Teen Nick is for. They replay all that stuff.
Well, is it? I thought it was a Disney property. Isn't it a Disney property?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
But
Disney and Nick have a really kind of little bit of a symbiotic relationship there. And
in a way, they share a lot of the same actors and actresses. So, but what they do, and Nick and Disney do it the same, is they started on their what we call their low channel on the cable, and then once they've premiered it, then it switches to their higher cable channel. In Disney's case, it would be Disney XD, and then they just replay it like in 4-hour blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you're doing Gravity Falls.
So you've got Power Rangers, Phineas and Ferb. I mean, what are some of the other big shows or big actors that you have? Because you have some voice actors coming in.
We have three.
Real
people. Yeah, we have three voice actors coming from Adventure Time.
Awesome.
Which is crazy. Okay.
Adventure Time reminds me a lot of the old Sid and Marty Krofft stuff.
It does.
And I like it because it kind of reminds me of that nostalgia. I think Adventure Time is awesome. So, I'm sorry.
They came in swinging with the big hitters with that one, too. We have
awesome.
the voice actor who's a young actor that does Finn. His name is Jeremy Shotta. And then we have the actor that does the voice of Jake, which is the little yellow dog, which is his brother. And that's John DiMaggio. And then we have a guest. Her name is Olivia Olson. And she does Marceline, the Vampire Queen, voice.
Awesome.
But then she also does Vanessa Doofenshmirtz on Phineas and Ferb. We'll get her twist.
Yay! Awesome.
That's crazy. People are so excited about that.
Adventure Time is just adorable. I'm sorry. It's just so much fun. It's one of those shows, and I do enjoy shows where I can just turn my head off for a little bit and just watch it. And then I can turn it off and go about my regular life. And it doesn't really, but it's fun. And it's a good 30 minutes or an hour of just turning your head off. It's great. Even for adults. Sorry. John likes many more of these shows than I do. But, John, you know, you can ask about your favorite shows, too.
Oh, well, I already have. Phineas and Ferb. Ferb. Yes, there's a new one, by the way, called Phineas and Ferb. What? Now I can't say Ferb.
Ferb guest. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Say.
It's Kelly Hugh. She does the voice of Stacey Hirano.
Nice.
And so I'll have Kelly Hugh and Olivia Olson on a panel together.
Awesome.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
Now,
and then we have our big SpongeBob guest this year, too.
Oh, yeah. I was going to get to that.
Who's the big Roger SpongeBob Bumpus guest?
Does the voice for Squidward Tentacle.
Oh.
And one Squidward. Of my staff is so very excited. She got all fangirly on me on that.
She did a whole what?
She went all fangirl. She was like, oh my God. I'm like, okay.
Breathe.
You've had Tom Kenny before, right?
My phone's going, bleep, 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 bleep. I look at it, and she's like, have you seen the guest announcements? And I was like, no, but I can,
Yeah.
Now, you had Tom Kenny before, right?
I'm sorry?
You guys have had Tom Kenny before, right?
We had him the very first year, but he canceled like 2 weeks before for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Probably like every other actor. I mean, he got work, which is
it
makes us happy.
I could have sworn
and
that
every actor we're listing right now, every person we're listing is tentative until you've already seen the panel. Until
the panel's over, yes. And then
the panel
because you have one on Friday doesn't mean they'll be there Saturday either.
Right. Nope. So just letting you know. It's just a disclaimer. We put it all the time.
Yeah, this is the first time I've really talked about to the public the guests and who they are. I mean, people can figure it out if they read, but I haven't really talked about it much.
Yeah. No, this is, and I think this is good, but I mean, you also do a lot of panels actually with the younger Dragon Con actually being on the panel and being a real part of that discussion.
Yeah, we try to have as many kid panelists as we can.
Which is great, because my kid is actually going to be on there. He's doing a Phineas and Ferb and something, a Bang Pow Boy or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something about explosions, which is usually, if I'm not here, and it's not Mythbusters, he will find something with explosions and watch, and he loves it. So,
yeah
so that's always
blow stuff up.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, they do. I was a sociology major, and I really never believed in some of that. And I was like, oh, no, it's all nurture. It's all – there are certain things that just seem to be hardwired. Blowing crap up seems to be hardwired. I don't – enjoying crap blowing up seems to be hardwired. I don't know what it is. So one of the other things – I mean, how many are – I mean, you do – what's, like, the weirdest thing that you think you do on your track, for, like, as a fan discussion?
As a fan discussion, we usually have, we try to do some things for parents and lots of things for kids and parents. We, one of the weirdest things that we do is we usually have some kind of passive activity where it's not like on a panel. You can just come in and do it in between the panels or whatever. And one of the things that we're doing this year that's going to be a lot of fun, which I haven't talked about this either, was we're going to have like a photo booth. Like they do at weddings now with all the little props.
Oh, yeah.
Take their pictures. We're just going to have it up there and they can take them on their camera. And it's one of my staff works at a photography place that does that. And so that was her idea. And I said, well, that'll be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. That is great.
With the weird hats and the.
And the other thing is, you try to also, you are kind of the master of all things trying to keep the younger Dragon Conners, because we were talking about this on the podcast with Pat Henry, is Dragon Con is a family affair. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all started as little geeks, and many of us now have children, and we're raising little geeks. And I have a niece who is 5 and desperately wants to come to Dragon Con because she found out that everybody dresses up as fairies. That's all 5 things. Yeah. Not yet. I'm not ready to bring the 5-year-old yet. But
we had some last year.
We have a lot of fairies. We have a lot of fairies.
Well, I mean, 5-year-olds.
Oh, a lot of 5-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I probably wasn't working as many hours as I did, maybe, but this is, yeah. To stick her with my husband and 2 14-year-old boys just seems like the height of mean on my side. I'm not going to do that. But we are a family of Farron, so you also try to do stuff to keep people interested around the con. So even if they're going to something with their parents, they mm-hmm. might have something to do. So this year, you've got something new going on.
Yeah, this year I worked with the Dragon Con office, and we're setting up what we're calling the Baby Dragon Hunt. And what it is it's going to be, we're going to put pictures of dragons, and it's a very specific picture of a dragon, around the convention in the rooms that we occupy. They won't be in the public spaces, but they'll be in all of our rooms, which is a lot of rooms that we occupy. And then I'm just going to put out a list that says there's X number of dragons in this hotel, and send them out to see if they can find them. And a lot of the track directors and a lot of the other directors are graciously offering to help us. And it's really going to be fun because it's not supposed to be like a contest. It's supposed to be more like a road trip game, you know, like you do in your car. So it gives them something to do, but it also gets them out of the Marriott and into other hotels to see what they have to offer. Because a lot of the parents just stay in the Marriott. They don't do anything else.
Yeah, but some of us are still in the Marriott and mm-hmm. will be helping as well.
Yes. It's going to be some in every yes. room that we can get one in. But we're not going to limit it to just kids. If adults want to play, that's fine too. But it's really meant to be for the kids to give them something to do. And we have a little couple other things we're not ready to release yet that we're going to do in relation to that, but it's really just going to be a lot of fun. We probably won't even release the list until maybe 2 or 3 days before.
Hey, gotta build that anticipation somehow.
Well, we don't want anybody stocking it out, you know, because Wednesday's new Thursday, so we don't want anybody out there.
Wednesday has become Thursday. Thursday has become Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Monday has become purgatory. No. But not a cheat sheet. Okay, so in the Marriott, you can. Yeah, no. Well, also, I mean, the great thing about DragonCon is by building this track, I mean, we've put a whole lot of our family-friendly programming in one place. But there's also family-friendly programming across other mm-hmm. tracks as well. I mean, of course, there's young adult lit. And of course, there's, you know, some things. But I do something on Warehouse 13, which is a fandom discussion, which we love kids to come to because a lot mm-hmm. of kids are watching and families are watching Warehouse 13 as a family, which we really enjoy. And so do you keep up with that as well? Do you help with anything like that?
What do you mean, with other tracks?
Well, not with other tracks, or like, do families ask you for a list of what are great things to do or anything like that?
Yeah,
that you
I'm
also
sorry.
Help with that? Oh, sorry, I wasn't yes. being clear. It's me.
No, and that was
I'll
funny.
I'll sip my tea.
That was actually the brainchild of somebody who's not on my staff, but the first year who was a parent that brought their kid for the first time for that very first year, we hobbled together what we call the kids grid. And we gave it to Information Security, and I think they put it out on the Daily Dragon. And we list all the panels that we as the track directors think are kid-friendly or meant for children to attend. And we put it all on a grid just by itself. So, you know, the parents wants to see what's available at such a time, such a day that their kid might be interested in. We have it all listed in one spot, and it goes from everywhere from gaming to space to, you know, X-Files or Star Wars. And even the puppetry track this year has put some extremely kid-friendly stuff on their schedule.
They have. But I think the one thing I always like to tell people, and I know you do and other track directors do as well, which is there is Dragon Con, and Regina even brought it up, there is daytime Dragon Con and there is nighttime Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah.
And I say this as a parent who my child has come to Dragon Con since he was 6 weeks old. I literally, I was working staff. I would sit on the floor and breastfeed while panels were going on. And I really did that with a big blanket over my head. But welcome to Dragon Con, dude. If you can't handle somebody breastfeeding, don't come to Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah, that's
for sure. Say that right out here.
Because, but, on your mind.
Definitely don't come to what? The kaleidoscope track.
Yeah, don't, what?
Don't come to the kaleidoscope track if you can't handle that.
Well, yeah, because there are parents that have the little tiny ones and the, you know, other ones. But
or even go late night Dragon Con, but that's a whole different thing.
That's a whole different thing.
Moving on.
That's not the same kind. But one of the biggest things is that watching children grow up. And so it was very different when I would take the 4-year-old around at 9 o'clock because he couldn't calm down. And now the 13-year-old, I'm like, yeah, you don't need to be out on the floor at around 9:30, 10 o'clock. No. So I think that's the one thing, too, is a lot of us as track directors realize that. And I know Puppetry Track talked about it at the last director's meeting, that there's going to be a daytime puppetry, and it's great, bring the kids. And then there's nighttime puppetry, which we will stop you at the door. It goes from Sesame Street to Avenue Q. And if you don't get that reference, you need to find a friend and ask, because there's...
Or use Google.
Or use Google. Yeah. But that's kind of the difference. And I think...
just don't watch YouTube with the kids in the room.
Really help.
And that's one of the reasons why our programming ends. Originally, we were supposed to end our programming at 7, at the 7 o'clock slot. But we pushed our more parent-oriented things out till 8:30 this time so we could accommodate our media guests. But even at an 8:30 panel, leaving out at 9:30, that's going to be sketchy for some kids.
Yeah, it is going to be sketchy for some kids. And I really want parents to take that responsibility, because I think something that comes up every year is, well, which parties at night can I take my tween, for want of a better term, to? Mm-hmm. And my answer is not a whole lot, probably. Oh. But what about, I mean, I know you get that question. I mean,
I get that question all year. We recommend the Yule Ball, maybe the first 2 or 3 hours of the Yule Ball.
Yeah.
You know, but we also remind parents that it's not like a drop-off zone. You just don't drop them off and leave and come back 3 hours later and get them. Because, you know, I get a lot of emails from parents who say, you know, you recommended this or that to my kid and it wasn't appropriate. And I'm like, well, it has to be your decision. You need to check it out. But at the same time, I don't know that I would leave my 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old at the Yule Ball by themselves. Then I don't think it starts till what, 9?
I don't think it starts 10? Until at least 8:30 or 9. Yeah. And I wouldn't leave my 14-year-old probably there alone. Well, 14 maybe. I mean, it would depend if I were close around. But anything younger than that, I probably wouldn't. And I only say that with my 14-year-old because...
because you know your 14-year-old.
And I know my 14-year-old, and he's a pretty sensible kid, and he's not going to do anything too raucous, thank God. But the other thing is there, you've got to be... you really have to do parenting, and you can't just think this isn't free babysitting, so you can drop them off at one party while you go to another one. That's not what we're doing here.
And it's not really about whether or not your kid or the kids are able to handle being by themselves for a couple hours. It's not about the kid, really. It's about everybody else.
Right.
The track director and the staff, they can't control what those people do. You can control what your kid does and what your kid sees, or... you know, is around, but we can't control everybody. Now, we try, but there's always going to be something that slips through.
Well, and especially in something, there is a difference at there's a huge difference between, and I'll be very honest, I do this, I do the Warehouse 13 panel. So when I say, you know, Mrs. Fredericks is really badass, and there are a couple of kids in the audience, I go, oh, I'm sorry. And they're like, okay, that, you know, that's a difference. When you're at a party at 9 o'clock at night and people are like, woohoo, different, you know, think about that differently. And I think that that's what we have to, as Dragon Con, we want to build responsibility, not only in our children, but also in fandom. And think about it, parents. Come on.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we really haven't we get asked for it all the time, like a kid friendly dance.
Yeah,
that would start 7-ish, you know, on our track, is because we don't want it to be a drop-off. I mean, I understand parents don't want to sit in there and listen to their kids' music or watch them dance or whatever it is they're going to do, but it's really hard to plan something with the intention of, you know, not of having the parent, having it be okay that the parents are not there, because that would never be okay.
Right.
Because the age... Right. the age that we say is where they're allowed to come unescorted is 16. Well, you know, if the Kaleidoscope track has a dance or a DJ party or whatever, a 16-year-old is not going to want to be there.
No, I don't know how many 16-year-olds are going to want to listen to One Direction and a lot of the...
Or, you know...
Hannah Montana
or whatever they're going
to
play.
Hannah Montana or whatever they're listening to now. I don't even know.
The joke is, you know, you have a show on Nickelodeon or Disney, so you can automatically sing and record a record. And I say record, which dates me, but there you go.
But well, auto-tune is a lovely thing, is my understanding.
Yes, it's awesome.
Now, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to point out that, you know, you can, as a parent, if you want to, let your kid go to the... Yule Ball, you can go with them to the Yule Ball and then just sit outside. You've got your Facebooks and your Twitters and your MySpaces, because everyone still uses MySpace.
And your Kindle Fire, which has books on it.
And then you can just, you know, go in, check in, make sure everything's okay, and then pop back out and say hi if you don't want to do that. So, but your point is valid, and it says it all over the Dragon Con Code of Conduct and all other jazz, where it says, you know, basically... don't leave your kids here unattended. We are not a babysitting
service. And we're not saying we don't want kids, because we do want kids. We love having kids in a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Well, the perfect example happened last year when the fire alarm went off in the Marriott, and we promptly cleared through and ended up not being a fire. Somebody had pulled the emergency medical panels, like for a heart attack.
Oh, okay.
And somebody, a parent, had dropped their kid off and said they were going to the bathroom and went their own way, and when they heard the fire alarm, they came running back. Well, by the time they got back, the only one in the room was me, and I was fixing to lock the door, and they were like, well, where's my daughter? And I'm like, I don't know, where is she? I said I had to get everybody else out.
You have to get everybody out, and you have to do that, and when you're like, wait, I made sure your child is safe, they're down in the where the everybody is milling around for the fire alarm.
And the teachers on my staff, you know, were like, okay, everybody go here. And we were on the main level. It wasn't like, you know, we were in the basement or whatever. So she was really just around the corner. But mom came back to the room expecting for me to have realized that she had left and had kept her daughter there. And had the building really been on fire, that would have not happened.
No, I mean, that would have been bad.
But
yeah, you know, no, and we worry
about
that's
the perfect
things.
Example.
Yeah.
You don't expect the fire alarm to go off or... whatever, but you can't just take the chance that your kid in the midst of 60,000 other people is going to know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or where to go.
But and again, we're saying this not to say we don't like kids. We love kids. I am so glad we're building a next generation of geeks. I can't stand it. But also, just we want to make sure everybody's safe and everybody's having a good time. And I'm a mommy. I see kids and I get very nervous. Because I go, oh my, why are you alone? And then I'm talking to them and they're looking at me like, who's this crazy lady? So, you know, and I have their best interest at heart.
I mean, we go out of our way to make our track
kid
attractive. And, you know, we put up posters of Justin Bieber and, you know.
Oh, you don't? I've never been in your track room. Really?
Yeah.
You have the Bieb in your track room.
We have the Bieb. Mm-hmm.
You are a saint, woman.
Saint.
We even play music in between the tracks that we know that they like. So,
wow.
We go out of our way to make it kid-friendly. We have all kinds of stuff for them to do, you know, whether they participate in the panel or not. But it's just funny that everybody gets on the subject of don't do this with your kid and don't do that with your kid. And I'm like, just bring them, but just come. We even have sectioned off in the back place for parents to come. We had one... lady that came with her granddaughter to almost everything we did last year. She just sat in the back and knitted the whole time.
Well, it's also fun too, because one of the things we do an X track, and we do this and we do it on purpose. It's Monday morning. It's usually our first track, which is shows you can watch as a family. And we actually started that because realized for our family, and again, your family is different than my family. And that's fine. We watch Warehouse 13 together. We were watching Clone Wars. We were watching some other things. And it was really great time to come together as a family and talk about this. And guess what? We're the ones that are probably the only ones not hungover and awake at 10 o'clock on Monday. And so we were all together.
Those.
Yeah, there are very few of those. And we were all talking. And a lot of these parents then were like, swapping Facebooks and swapping emails because they were like, I've never watched this show. Can you tell me more about it? Can we talk about it later? And that was a great thing. So if you got your little parent section in the background, that's a great way to start talking about some mm-hmm. other stuff that's going on too, because this is how I find out whether or not, you know, is that a good video game? Is that a bad video game? Is that an okay movie? Is it not an okay movie? You know, because they can say, well, my 7-year-old loved it, but my 5-year-old was crying. Okay, that's great. That's what I needed to know. And so.
Yeah, one of our favorite panels.
Family is different. So, but yeah.
One of our favorite panels that's widely attended every year that we've had it is called Geek Parents.
Mm.
And it's really just about for parents to come talk about their geeky stuff with each other. And the kids are there, and we taught, you know, the kids love to tell you what they think about it. Mm. So, and it's the same thing that happens where they talk about what shows they watch or what books they read, or, you know, how do you make all those awesome costumes for less than $10 a piece, or, you know, that kind of stuff or whatever. So we keep panels like that in the track so parents can network with each other. But then also we listen and learn what they're watching and what they're doing, so we can pay attention to what might be coming up for next year.
Excellent. And that's so great. So what are some, do you have anything new that's on the horizon this year that people should be watching out for?
New for the track?
For the track and or mm-hmm. for like TV shows that John's going to enjoy and say he makes, and he makes his kids watch with him.
they've started rolling out a lot of the things that they released. We just started Haunted Hathaways, which is, you know, a ghost family that's all male and a living family that's all female, and they are in New Orleans and they cohabitate in a house. They've had two shows of that.
What channel is that on?
It's pretty cool. It's and it's even interracial, so it has all of those aspects. When I first saw it, I thought, well, it's kind of like Brady Bunch, but it's not really. But it's that's maybe the basic concept of a blended family, but it's really very cute and very interesting. And of course, there's a new thing that started is some sketch comedy shows. So I don't know if you've even noticed them. There's one on Cartoon Network, and then there's one on Nickelodeon, where it's kind of like Saturday Night Live, but by kids for kids. And that is hilarious.
I didn't know about that. That is probably hilarious.
It's called The Incredible Crew.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
Cartoon
yeah.
Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, John, you know about this one?
I mean, I've heard. Thanks.
Your kids are watching this one?
Twitter. I heard it through Twitter. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's how you hear everything. I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Awesome. But, you know, and then there's... So, that's really cool. And what are some, you know, is there something this year you've done new on your track that everybody should come to? Or?
Well, we have our very first fan group, and we're kind of excited about that. It's basically, it's called Geek Girls Run, like run, like running. And it's basically a runners group, but they're trying to encourage girls and women, but also kids in general, to exercise and to exercise in costume if you wanted to. They started this whole thing because they all ran together in marathons and stuff where they dressed up. Like, they have a whole Thor and Captain America group that runs, and then there's the Disney stuff that they run, all dressed up in costume. And we're really kind of excited because it's been really popular subject on our Facebook, and so, and we've gotten a lot of questions about it once we announced it. But that's going to be really exciting, basically because it's taken what the kids like to do already, is play dress up and Star Wars and Adventures and Phineas and Ferb or whatever, and then it encourages them to branch out and do other things and be healthy.
And there's nothing that says a Disney princess has to wear the long skirt all the time. While she's running. I mean, she can wear the tiara and run.
And there's nothing that says that a Disney princess has to be a girl. So
That's exactly true. One of the husbands of one of the ladies that started this fan group actually ran the princess marathon at Disney this year dressed as Tinkerbell.
I've run many Disney marathon and half marathon, and there are lots of that going on.
I was about to say, and you've dressed as Tinkerbell?
I have never dressed up as anything and ran, but I have run.
I keep trying to figure out so I can get you in costume at Dragon Con, and I can't figure out one this year.
I don't like sweating in the clothes that I sweat in already. What makes you think I want to be in a costume? You guys have been in the same room the last two
I've
years,
lost
right?
You guys.
Are you there? Hello? Did we lose you again? Jill?
Yes.
Jill?
Hello?
Jill? Jill. This is the fun part of the podcast. Jill?
Dude.
Jill. Let me try this. I'm going to hang up on her and I'm going to dial her back in.
Okay, I'm right here.
And call this person and call. Let's see if that works. Jill?
Hello?
Jill, you there?
I can see you, but I can't hear you.
You can see me, but you can't hear me. That's awesome.
I don't know if it's on my end or not.
This is the fun part. Now, either I decide to edit this or I keep it in. Who knows? You'll know because you'll have heard all of this going in. All right, she hung up again. So what I was going to point out, Lee, was that they've joined some of the rooms together that kind of made sense, if I recall what
yes.
Regina said earlier.
Yes, and she is going to be right beside Young Adult Lit.
Young Adult Lit, that's right.
Leah, I'm still not hearing you, but I think it's me on my end. Let me see what's going on.
You still can't hear us?
Okay, so Jill can't hear us, but John and I know this part, and Jill's kind of playing around, but welcome to Skype, folks. This really does tell you all three of us are not in the same room.
We are actually all in the same room, but
we all just decided we didn't like each other for a few minutes. Yes, what Regina said is true. They have moved, actually, and I don't know exactly where, but Young Adult Lit and Kaleidoscope are going to be right beside each other. They are, my understanding, is still in the Marriott. But it's going to be in a different area than they've been in the past. Also moved away a little bit from, I think, that really the hallway that moves from the Hyatt to the Marriott. So it'll be a little easier to get into those track rooms is my understanding as well.
I wasn't quite clear on that. You obviously want to consult your DragonCon map. But but I think they might have, because it all stems around the blood drive too.
Yes.
That
right.
People didn't realize there were actually things going on the other side of the blood drive.
Right.
Because the way the room is configured. Can you hear us now, Jill?
Yes. I kicked my speaker.
We were talking actually about your room that you've been in the same place for 2 years, but you're being moved now. You're going to be right beside Young Adult Lit. Where are you going to be exactly in the Marriott?
We're going to be in, A708, which is the atrium level.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be right across the hall from the blood drive.
Oh, you are still going to be across the hall from the blood drive.
Yeah. It's going to be... Actually, the room that we are in was where they actually gave blood last year.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And then right next door to us will be Young Adult Lit. And then, of course, Star Wars is still there. And if you go directly across the hallway, Puppetry is there, which
right.
I think is a new place for them.
Yes.
I think so, yep.
And then the rest of that space will be taken up by the blood drive.
Okay, so folks, this is the kind of the important thing to remember, because you know, we talked briefly about this with Regina, is that there is actually stuff going on where the area where you see the blood drive, there are actually tracks back there. I know it seems really weird, because...
But they're really nice rooms back there, actually.
They
yes.
actually very are. Mm-hmm.
They really are very nice rooms, yeah.
There are things going on over there. So even though, you know, it doesn't look like it because you see everyone sitting around waiting to give blood. Please, by the way, do give blood. There are actually tracks. And what I like about how they did this is that they kind of put four things together that kind of are, again, kid friendlier.
Well, and not just kid friendlier, but are things that historically have really been the things that they want to see. You know, yep. that you've got all four of them in one place and you can go from point A to point B, and that'll be good. Especially if you're that parent that has two kids and you've got to somehow figure out how to get one in this puppetry room. You know, at 10 o'clock, they want to see puppetry, and 11:30, they want to see this. And they used to be all the way across two hotels. Now they're right beside each other. You can go to Star Wars and puppetry and at 10 and then 11:30 and be good.
Yeah, and it's not, you won't be finding, especially on Saturday, you won't be finding getting out into the crowd. But it's also good that they moved the dealers' halls away, because that'll alleviate some of that what I call the habit trail traffic, where mm-hmm. that gets
yes.
right there. I think we're trying to alleviate some of that traffic as well. That traffic that passes through that area.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, as a parent, I'm ecstatic about this idea. Well, I am ecstatic about it. I'm not sure my pocketbook is, but that the dealer's room is going to be in a different area, mm-hmm. because you always felt like you had to move really fast. And I try to look for some Christmas presents and things like that at this point, because I have a geek kid. Little things, you know, some of them are like the big things. Like, he would love another lightsaber. He's not getting one if he listens to this podcast, by the way. But because he's got like four of the light up ones that you can play with.
You know, Lee, I don't have one. I could use one. Anyway, go on, Lee. Yeah.
Okay, but you've got, you know, they're going to have, I think the dealer's hall is going to be very conducive to now being able to kind of walk around and see what's going on and all of that. And so I think that's going to be also great for parents, too, because we all get ideas for our little geek kids of, you really always wanted, huh? You always wanted some Legos and Star Trek, huh? Okay, good to know. I didn't know that, so... You know, mm-hmm. you can find these things out that you can see. And then you could also go, yes, no, I'm sorry. You can't have the Wonder Woman Barbie because she's $200. I love you, but no.
No.
So, right. And then the kids can understand why they can't, because then they can really actually stand there and go, oh, wow, that is really expensive.
And for us that get there maybe once or twice the whole convention, it'll be easier to navigate, because they promise the aisles will be bigger. And
yes.
You know, you don't always get a choice of when you get to go.
No. So. Oh wow, I have an hour free. I'm running over there. Yes.
Do I go to the dealer's room?
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Are the ceilings taller there?
Yes.
The way I remember it, and Lee, you probably remember when it was over there the first time, like I do, it seemed to be much more open at the top. It not like at the basement in the Marriott where it seemed all confined in.
Right, because the exhibit hall was fine, but the dealer's room was really dark. And it has to do with the fact that
it's much more like the ballroom kind of open. It is a convention center. I mean, so when you come to a convention in Atlanta, if you're there, they use this to like set up all that kind of convention booths and stuff like that. So it's pretty high up. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Cool. Good.
Mm-hmm. Pretty open and airy.
Because it would be nice.
It's really not that far away.
It's not at all far away. I know we've heard a lot of people going, oh my God, it's beside the West End, people. Come on. It's a block and a half from the Hyatt.
If you come through the food court and up that escalator that dumps you out on the street, it's like less than a block.
It's across the street from that dang escalator, yeah. Right? Actually, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, woohoo, come on, people.
I got a question. How long until Dragon Con actually buys the Peachtree Mall there?
Stop.
Because it seems like that's it's empty there, most except for a handful of food vendors, and the rest of it's like all gone. It seems like it should just be purchased by DragonCon Inc.
I'm going to hurt you later. I think the other thing, what's really funny about that food court, though, is so many of those places used to not open on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night or Sunday, they used to not open. Now they're open pretty much all the time now. They
know.
They figured this out.
This is way off topic of what we're talking about, but I'm curious as to see what CVS does this year, because I got to be, the managers have got to be scratching their head going, okay, or at least the ownership of CVS being going, well, why do you have this huge spike here in the middle of the summer for all this traffic, but the rest of you, how do you figure out what, you know, to stock and what to, you know, it's got to be a logistics nightmare for those guys.
Well, especially if you're a new manager in a retail setting and you're looking at your numbers from last year going, okay, what happened? On Labor Day weekend.
I will tell you, I used to work actually downtown, and this was right as Dragon Con was starting to get really big. This was, you know, about 10 years ago. And you would have these people, and the first year that Dragon Con got really, really big, because I knew what was going on, but I was still working on Thursday. This is when Thursday wasn't Friday. And I was working on Thursday and then going to go and work you start getting set up for Thursday night. This is when I could, as track directors, we could do that at one point. And all these people are starting to be in costume and everything else. And people are walking around like, oh my God, what happened? And people, and I would go, it's Dragon Con. And then I'd have to stop and explain Dragon Con. The next year, all of the buildings around that area actually put out memos saying, okay, Dragon Con is here. This is why the food court will be busy on Thursday and Friday. I think they now put it out on Wednesday. And a lot of those places now do kind of like people do when they've got other big things going on. If you work downtown, that might be now your telework day because, you know what, there's going to be a whole lot of people here and we'll work it out. And I think that's great, though, because that, you know, if people want to see the costumes, come on into work, because that was always fun, too, because then I got to explain things to people, which was because they were like, so everybody dresses up? No, not everybody dresses up. So that was always fun, too. So, and we're totally off topic now.
We are.
So, John, well, it's time for your
my
question.
Speaker. Sorry.
Don't break your speaker. All right, John, your turn.
Oh, okay. So, now you've been here, you've been on our podcast twice, right? So far?
Yes.
So it's your third time. So you don't get the three people you would like to see at the con convention. Although you can share with that if you convention. What the heck is a con convention?
This year, and I was talking to Rachel. I heard y'all talking about Rachel earlier about, you know, when I sent my, and Lee knows, you get the very one of the very first things you do is send your guest wish list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And who was in your guest wish list?
Everybody who's here, minus Jerry Trainer. I mean, literally, I got just everybody on my wish list this year.
Oh, we didn't point out, too. We mentioned it beforehand, but I'm not sure that we did mention it on the podcast. You do have the Power Rangers.
Yes, we do. We are hosting the Power Rangers, the 20th anniversary of the Power Rangers. And because Nickelodeon still has a live-action Power Rangers show that's going on. It's Power Rangers Megaforce now.
And so is this the Power Rangers that was the first one with the blue and the red, and then we added the white and black.
Yeah, this is the original Power Rangers from the 90s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, God, I'm old. The ever-popular Green Ranger, Tommy, I think was the character's name.
Did Tommy become the Green Ranger?
Tommy was the Green Ranger who became the White Ranger.
Ah, yes.
Huh? He switched from green to white, I think, between the show and the movie.
Oh, okay. Because then he was like a bad guy at first. So I guess I thought he was the Black Ranger, but I don't know.
Well, he was a bad guy that was converted to, it was like a two or three show story arc where he was a bad guy. And then he was converted over to being a good guy.
So that's,
and all of us 40-somethings are talking about the Power Rangers, and we actually kind of know what we're, oh, God.
It's kind of scary. In a way.
Yeah, a little bit.
So that will probably be a huge draw, obviously. Yes. Will you have a main programming panel for that? Is that?
Yeah, we have four, actually.
Oh, really?
We have five, actually, because Jason David Frank, who played Tommy the Green Ranger, has a solo panel. And then we have four other group panels that we're doing for them. And they're going to be in very large rooms. Very large rooms. Cool.
Yes. So you got your wish list. But I'm going to ask you now is if you could have any book, movie, or television show resurrected or made a sequel of, what would they be? Give me three examples.
Three examples.
Yes.
My first one would probably be a live-action Scooby-Doo.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been live-action Scooby-Doos, right?
There have been movies, but I mean like a regular television show.
Oh, that wasn't... That's kinda neat. I thought that was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh. No.
No. After all these,
there's no dog.
Scooby-Doo is still so popular.
He is
with the littlies and the biggies.
It's interesting. Okay, so yeah, that'd be awesome. A live action television show for Scooby-Doo. Sure. Okay, that's great. Well, that's one. Now you get two more.
Okay, and you're talking about resurrected.
Yeah.
TV shows. Oh wow.
A show that maybe saw in your mind saw their its demise too soon.
So it's demise too soon.
So it was obviously on Fox.
That was obviously on Fox. Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
You know, I would love, you know, what would be cool for me as a track director would be like maybe a reboot of something like Firefly that was for kids.
Oh, a Firefly for kids.
Love
interesting.
Firefly.
Firefly babies.
Yes.
We're Firefly babies.
You know, make dreams come true.
Of the cosplay that I get a lot of is Firefly.
I think I just broke John.
I'm sorry.
Laughing so hard about the Firefly babies.
I don't know where that.
Did I break you, really?
No, you didn't. I was singing along to Firefly Firefly Babies.
Firefly Baby. I want to make a song now.
Yeah.
That's an awesome idea. I kind of actually like the Firefly Babies idea.
I mean, they can reboot everything else. They can reboot Firefly.
Hold on.
He has the power now, right?
I think
it be a cartoon series?
I'm not thinking cartoon. I'm thinking live action. I mean, it could be a cartoon, but then for sure, you know, the Whedon first track people would get. That's really popular even now with the young kids. We get a lot of Miles and Kaylee cosplayers, and that's another one of those things that they watch as a family, even though it's not on anymore.
I watched it as a family up until the last couple episodes and went, no. We're not doing these last couple of really dark ones. Thanks, Joss. All right, so that's two. Number three. Okay. Come on. Yeah.
I was stalling.
I know you were stalling. We figured this out.
Why not something like American Bandstand? Do y'all remember American Bandstand?
I do. Oh,
I'm dating myself so bad.
No, you're not. 11:30 Saturday mornings.
That's
American
awesome.
American Bandstand.
That's an awesome suggestion.
Just think about, you know, every Nickelodeon Cartoon Network star that has an album out that you could parade through there.
Well, you could parade through there, and then also, you know, through our kids, which, you know, hey, I am not going to say they always have the best music taste, but you can go, oh, okay, so you like guitar music.
Mm-hmm.
Look, how about we, okay, let's listen to this guitar music that you like, and then let's pull on Shawn Mullins that, you know, you're... So let's hear somebody else. It gives kids ideas too. So I always like that too. Mm-hmm. I love using music and TV and books. I mean, I think, you know, okay, so you like iCarly. All right. Well, let's talk about what real podcasting or video casting would be like.
That's for sure.
I'm writing out of the lyrics to Firefly Babies.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I gotta add some because I saw you. Just,
hold on. Just me. Firefly Baby, fighting weavers for you. Firefly Babies! Wash gets killed by a tube! Firefly Baby! Oh, wait.
No. Firefly Baby. Okay, so Firefly Babies. Firefly Babies.
What are we talking? This is your fault. You know that, right, Jill?
I know. But see, you ask me these questions that make me be creative.
You know what's
How
really
dare
scary
we?
Is we know comic people. We know people that actually do animation and comics, and I think, John, we got
to
talk.
That would, you know, honestly, I might try to track down an artist in the Artist Alley to commission a Firefly Babies, a poster.
Mm-hmm. I want one. Okay,
then
we
got to
do this. Firefly Babies. Because, and what was her name? Firefly Babies, River Staring at You. Yeah. I mean, come on. Oh my God, we're having fun with this. This is awesome.
We are.
Okay. We're going to, sorry, John and I are now on.
All right. So all once right, again, where?
Digressed again.
What's that again?
Is it we've digressed again?
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
it's like you guys think there's a plan for this podcast.
So where can folks find you on the interwebs? And also, obviously, we'll just remind people where you are inside of the actual con.
Okay, we're in the Marriott on the atrium level, room 708. That's going to be our new home, and it's actually bigger, which we had a lot of people asking us to get a bigger room. So all of their, requests went noticed.
Great.
We do have a Facebook page, which is, DragonCon Kaleidoscope. We have a Twitter, which is @DConKT. We actually created a Tumblr over the summer, so that's the same DConKT. It's our Tumblr. And we have an Instagram, which, surprisingly enough, is DeconKT.
All right, cool.
Is that
so,
enough? That's
yeah,
a lot.
I believe that's enough. So, of course, links to that will be over there on the Unique Geek, where this particular post is. And, Jill, thank you again. Thank you for all the work that you do. And thank you for filling that void, I guess, that had to be filled at Dragon Con, and obviously
I enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun, and I really like it too. It's a great service, and all the hard work you guys put into it shows, so appreciate it.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So until next time, for Jill and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.